From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Chris.
It's your boy. The game is not officially over yet. It's a minute and 40 seconds left in the fourth quarter. The L.A. Chargers are going to win this game 37-13. It's your boy Chris right quick. Hey, listen, I want Azul to come on real quick and light us up. He wants to talk about the tailgate and everything that's going on out there in L.A., and I'm going to put him on right about now. Azul, speak to your folks, homie.
Mr. Chris, this is all there, man. He's in California, man. How you doing, man? Do you hear me?
What? I hear you. Do your thing.
Man, listen, man. My 3 minutes or 4 minutes or however how long you got me on is going to be in two sections, okay? There's going to be a section as far as on the field. And there's going to be a section as far as tailgate. We got to cover both because this is real serious business that I got to talk to you about right now, my brother. I got to explain this shit out. So, matter of fact, I'll let you pick it. You want me to talk on the field or do you want me to talk tailgate?
I want you to give us both. I want you to give us both since this is the top of the show. I want you to give us both the Bleed Blue faithful right now. All frontliners and all
stakeholders. Which one you want me to give you first, though? The field? Or the
field. Definitely on the field.
Okay, on the field, this is what we do. We talk sport. Listen, I might go out of my way and say, I might be talking reckless or out of my jurisdiction as far as this, but the rest of the way, I might put 4 confidence points against the Giants at every pickup for the rest of the season. This is how bad we are. So meaning, when we play Dallas next week and whoever plays the next weeks after that, Philly, Washington, and whoever in the rest of the year, I'm giving the other team 4 points on the confidence pitch. That's how bad we are the rest of the year. The carry on for Miami is everything I thought we would have saw at the pro pregame. Yeah, I know. I said at the show, no wide receivers for the Chargers as far as the COVID. One of them came back. I think Mike Williams came back. But listen, man, it didn't matter. This team quit. And it has to break your heart because this is not what Giant fans are supposed to support. You know what I'm saying? This is about the New York Football Giants, the varsity blue team of New York City. They quit. And it may have been weeks ago. So we caught wind of that shit in the Miami game. And logically, like, we kind of hitting on this on the show on Thursday. Like, listen, if they didn't bring it versus a team that probably would not go to the playoffs in the Dolphins, how could you expect that versus a team that's in the hunt for a division title in the Chargers? So am I surprised? Absolutely not. But to see it unfold in Justin Herbert do what he do without his weapons, and that goes to show, like we said about Daniel Jones, he's got to be gone because you're available, it's trash, and then when you're here, we gave you the weapons, you're trash. You saw what an above-average quarterback has done on the field with no weapons. I see Lit right there. Lit, look to your left. Oh, shit. Lit, I see Lit walking out the stadium. Lit! He can't see me. Lit, I saw you, man. I know you. Lit, I hear you on the... He probably hear me, man. Lit just walked out the stadium, man. He had the George Jefferson walk on. But anyway, what are you saying? he walked like George Jefferson out the stadium. All right. The season's over, and we're going to still do these three games, and there's going to be a lot of negativity, and I understand it. We're going to have to brace for this shit every Thursday, man. A lot of negativity the rest of the way, man. It's over. It is over.
I want to know I want to know off the field. I want to know outside. Tell me about the tailgate.
Oh,
I know it was annoying.
Oh, my guy, let me tell you. That's another thing. We at MetLife are doing that all wrong. They won the tailgate, dog. And when I say they won the tailgate, they may have won the tailgate over the last 5 years. It was some of the most amazing shit I ever seen in years. I've been to all them sits on the run, home games. Lit will tell you. And Lit, as the day went, Lit will tell you, this shit is popping. Dwayne will tell you, this shit was popping. They, the Swoobin D tailgate here, the Chargers, they put on a fucking show. It was like fucking a circus out here, man. You want to see the pictures? The pictures, I'll put the posters up. I'll put the pictures up later tonight when I get back. The food was amazing. The DJ, old school Jazz Chris, Gap Band, Tom Brown, Jamaica Fun, they do it. They do it better than us. I gotta keep it at fun. I gotta keep it 500. They are playing jams, dog. Like your generation jams, my dad's generation jams. Yo, we don't do this in their life.
My wheelhouse.
And the food, everybody was nice too. That's another thing. Every Charger fan was in talking shit, and the honeys, man, fire, dog.
Oh,
don't go there. I have nothing. As soon as I hang up with you, I got a meal with my cousin. My cousin lives out here, big Giants fan from California. If he was in California, I'm meeting on her now. I have to get off the show. And then after that, I'm going back to the tailgate in the pink lot. What an amazing tailgate. Chris, they had Giants fans from UK, Germany. They came, dog. It was popping. So I will meet you guys on the Thursday show. Matter of fact, After I hang up, I'm gonna download this episode. I'm gonna bring it on the plane tomorrow when I listen back, when I go back, so I hear the rest of the episode. Man, you guys have a wonderful episode. I'm sorry, man. Right. Hey, it is what it is. But listen, man, the tailgate, Chris, we are doing the tailgate Roy in that light. Like, I'd be like, everything's backwards. The tailgate, the operations on the field, upper management, the front office, they sold out, dog. I'm embarrassed across the board. But I'm happy because we got a ball. You'll see the pictures and you'll see why. I'll send you pictures and it's going to go up on the Bleed Blue Show page, my timeline, Instagram, all that shit, man. Enjoy the rest of the episode. I'm sorry, too. A lot of you guys fine. I know you guys got probably in the queue. I'll see you on the preview for Thursday versus Dallas, right?
Right. That's right. We'll be there I'm going to announce that.
Four confidence. Oh, no, that's another thing. The event. Shout out to Dwayne and the frontliner team, Captain Bill, Yvette, everybody in the yo, they put on a show, man. Melody's in Culver City last night. They did the SoFi Stadium tour yesterday. It's all on Instagram. They put on a show, man. Fantastic shit, man. Love it, love it, love it. But, yo.
Love it.
I'm
going to
listen to
the rest of
the episode on the plane, man.
Yeah. All right,
you see
Chief.
Me on the tailgate,
talk,
man.
To, come out.
Love
well,
it all, man.
Take care.
Peace.
It's going to be posted. Yeah. All right, Chief. Go ahead and get the tailgate going on. I'll talk to you soon. That was Azul, everyone. All right. So, like you know, this is our post-game roundtable. This is what we do after every loss. I mean, on every game. Lord have mercy. This time it's 37-21. We got a late touchdown that I didn't see because I stopped watching the game at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So y'all going to have to educate me. Number here, for you guys just listening in, 929-477-4171. It's called the Bleed Blue Show. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere, but you don't have to do that. You can listen. You can just call in 929-477-4171. We have a variety of things, mostly New York area teams, but this particular one belongs to the New York Giants. It's the biggest fan base we got, full of what we call frontliners and stakeholders. And when you buy into the New York Giants, you buy into the New York Giants. So you love them or hate them or whatever, but you always going to bleed blue. That's how it works. And today's roundtable, we got Lady Blue. That's my blue wife. Everyone knows that. I got to get this right with her. NYG Love 15 or something like that. I won't mess it up. We got my girl Kristen, my homegirl from Brown Brooklyn Way. We got Carl at the C-Note, Stray Graham, Manny Dogs, and probably Jason in a few minutes. The definition of we call him something else. Legend and Tailgate. That's what it is. But this is the roundtable, and we're about to talk now. It's getting hard. We, as you know, we just went down to 4-9, which means we're guaranteed another losing season. And as Steve just mentioned, he said, look, you know, 4 confidence points about against anybody we play from here on in, which may also makes a lot of sense because we are just that fucking bad. We're a fucking bad team. But we love our team, and we love them anyway. So, like, you know, it's like a child. You can scold them, and that's what we're about to do right about now. So, Carl, get on board, man. Then Lady Blue, Kristen, Dre Graham. You know what? I'll table this thing, man. We don't have to really do. We gotta talk like we at the table the right way. Let's do it right that way. But Carl, you gotta say something quick, man, because I was online with you first, man. And what do
need
I don't
hug?
Know where to start, man?
I need a hug.
I need a big Havana cigar. I may just need a fucking shower with my clothes on. It's just that goddamn bad. But go ahead, kick it off, man, because you don't want – hey, if everybody listening in, they'll just like to listen to me all the time. Thank you for that. But I don't have anything to say today. I really don't. I don't want to sound redundant, and I don't want to sound negative because the show has not changed. So here we go. Go ahead, Carl. You were saying, sir. Carl, at the C-note.
So, I mean, if you're really doing any, like, high-level analysis of this game, I mean, it's probably a waste of time, I think. You know, you can,
what?
Within about, I don't know, 20 plays of watching this game, you could kind of see where this game was headed. You know, I know they went out to Arizona. I guess maybe they were just enjoying the warm weather so much that they didn't even know that there was a game on Sunday, perhaps. I don't know. But... In a much larger sense, right? You know, a performance like that. Forget what you just saw, like the last like 8 minutes of the game. If you actually stayed up to watch that, that's the kind of performance that gets people fired, man. Like, you know, when you
saw, stop right there, because we're gonna change up the format just a bit today. Because we are virtually sitting at the table. Okay, we need to talk instead of doing this 3 minute thing. We need to have a conversation. So Carl's right at the table. Lady Blue, let's join us. Join me and Carl, and then I'm inviting everybody else on. You heard what he said. This is the type of shit that gets people fired. Okay.
Well, and I agree, but on a flip side, I will be a little more positive and saying we actually found the end zone 3 times and didn't kick any field goals.
Right. That's progress?
That, yes. To me, I was very excited and shocked a little that we found the end zone 3 times. It just took a long time between the first one and the second one. And we even recovered an onside kick, which in this day and age in the league is almost literally impossible, but we wound up doing it. I mean, too bad. I'm thinking if we maybe had another quarter, we could have come back, maybe. But I'm just happy
current
we found the end zone. It's been such a long time since we had a damn touchdown. So I'm happy that we got 3 of them in 1 game.
Okay. So are you happy about that too, Dre?
Hell
Dre
no.
Graham on the line.
Hell no. No. I'm going to tell you why. Because we got 3 touchdowns. 2 of them was garbage points, so to say. Because, listen. If that quarterback touchdown run was in the first quarter, he would have got lit up. Dude pulled up from hitting him. By that point, they wasn't even playing defense no more. That's garbage point. So to me, we only had 7 points.
Disregard that.
Yeah. So to me, we only had 7 points. We changed offensive coordinators. Okay, so the highest points that we had in the past 3 games after having changed offensive coordinator, the highest points is Jason Garrett's low this season, which is 13. That's the most points that we had with the new offensive coordinator, really, because I told you the other 2 touchdowns were the garbage points in this game. Go ahead.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going. Hold on. I want everybody on this game. So, Manny Dog, it seems like the last three games, maybe? Well, every team we played, and Carl, I think Carl brought this up first. This is not an original thought. Mary Dove, I think every team we played, maybe four times this year, maybe two out of the last 3 weeks, it seems like every opponent has pulled up and either put their backup quarterback, their backup defense, their friggin' reserves from the offensive line, they put them in the game because we pretty much are not there by the fourth quarter. That basically goes in line with what Dre just said about garbage time.
Man, flush these dudes down the toilet, man. Like, I'm over it. But at the end of the day, these dudes is out here laying eggs. For the last X amount of weeks, we've been praising our defense. Oh, great job. Defense came out there and laid an egg. And you know what? To be honest with you, the Chargers didn't really put in those scrubs till the very, very end. They was uber disrespectful. Well, I can't even call it that. If you out here, you out here. They was trying to score. So they had their studs out there. Barkley's touchdown was against the starting DB who was killing us all day. He been on a slant because he was trying to – he knew my gun was going to throw that slant and pick that bitch off. So that's why he bit on it, and Barkley was wide open on the double move. But flush all these dudes down the toilet, man. Flush them. I'm cool.
Got it.
Okay, so on that note, Lit, hey, look, man, this goes in line with where the fuck do we go from here? I think the question had was
Chris, what, Grant, I'm glad you brought me in right now because we were talking about auditioning last week. Auditioning for what? Where is the discipline? Who's in charge? Going for it on fourth and 10, why were they going for it on fourth and 10 and Glennon gets strip sacked by Joey Bosa? Fourth and 10, what are you trying to do? What are you auditioning for? Fourth and 10, they turn it over, strip sack fumble. I mean, that is the worst play call of the game on the Giants. That was the worst play call.
No.
Fourth
they had
and 10.
No, they had a fourth. They had a three. They had a third. They threw on third down in the first.
You don't punt. You don't play. You don't throw. You don't do that on fourth and 10. You don't do that. That was just a stupid play call. What are they auditioning for?
I mean, you also don't fake punt when it's 27-7.
That's right.
Jesus, fourth and 10, you're going to try to go for it with Glennon, really? Stupid play
call. And then we throw it on third and two. Right, and then we throw it on third and two when we should have ran it after we ran three good plays to get there.
See, and like I said, this goes back to last week. There's no accountability. Nobody is in charge. It's carte blanche with zero cachet of credit for Joe Judge to do whatever he wants because of where his fiefdom was, and that was under the Belichick tree.
Listen.
Damn.
The Glennon, listen, the play wasn't even Glennon. Why would you do that play and have Nate Sauter? Nate Sauter is the one that caused the strip fumble. It was his man that got passed.
You punt the ball away. You punt the ball on fourth and 10. You don't play aggressive like that. Stupid play calling, stupid management, stupid organization, and look at the end cause. Shit.
Our head coach, Zach Words, was Sauter is progressing. He likes what he sees.
Oh, I know.
That was his recollection of it last week.
And I would like to say at this point, if I may, very succinctly, that I did hear that, Dre Graham, and I did see Joe Judge actually say that, and he is full of shit. 929-477-4171. Kristen, chime in, please.
Joe's got to make a decision whether he wants to grow with Pert or he wants to go with Nick Holder. And they have to be consistent. They have to be. And they're not. I think Pert deserves the position, but if they want it, they got to play the position. They've got to. I'm tired of giving this guy second and third chances and feeling bad for this guy. That's over.
How did you feel about everybody else? How did you feel about the play calling? How did you feel about the defense today?
Play calling was horrible. Horrible. It was just compared to the Washington game. Let's just compare it to the Washington game, for instance. Where do we go wrong from there to here? Where do we go wrong from there to here? There's no offense and mediocre at best. We're not even average in the league.
That's because our coach is smacking. Our head coach is smoking crack.
I don't know what he's on. But it's like, why are we coming alive the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left? We've got it
garbage.
In us. So where was that passion and all that and the play calling then?
Yeah, garbage.
In the beginning, garbage. Where was it? I don't understand.
Garbage
the consistency with the coaching is horrendous.
Because we're
garbage. But honestly, if you try to play Gannon, it's not, this kid is not built for this right now. He's not fucking ready. He's not ready. He was playing like a deer in headlights all night. He set on one guy. He had guys open all over the place. Why are you throwing in the danger zone?
Who's calling the play? Oh, Freddie Kitchens. Oops, excuse me. I was sorry. You were saying?
Yeah. Jason Garrett's not calling it, or is he?
Yeah, Jason Garrett's not here no more. He has left the building.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out why it's bad.
I'm telling you, they handed down the playbook.
And then at the end of the third quarter, he tried all kinds of crazy shit.
He handed that playbook to him and said, good luck, bro.
Listen.
That's what he did.
My little comment was
Garrett did. Same thing.
Listen, my comment was a dig at the idiots that listen to the podcast that think that it was Jason Garrett, by the way, FYI, that I argue with every week. Yeah, that's a dig towards them.
Well, don't dig on me because I was the ones that – okay, wait.
No, it's not towards you, it's towards the people that's listening.
No. We're all – but here's the fucking problem with this, and I'm bringing Billy Bob on. We're all right. We're all right. You know, that's what's bad.
Yeah, there's no wrong answer. There's no wrong answer to what is going on.
There's no wrong
but
answer to
the,
this. Stop.
Yes. However, the list goes on. Now that being said, I thought about this for a while, there was a personal animus towards Garrett that was happening even last year that was unusual for an offensive coordinator. I have to be fair on that. The fans had a very personal hatred specifically towards him. And the performance, you know, when we look at it, it was what it was. And we now see the reasons for the performance go way beyond him. But the fans wanted to blame specifically him as if he was the cause, when, as we see now, he may have been a small part of it, but clearly not the reason for what you see out there now each of these last couple of weeks.
I agree. Billy Bob, you agree?
Listen, bro, I was one of the ones on that Jason Garrett stuff, and I'm going to stand on that. And what I'm standing on, that's fact. Y'all can't tell me about what I seen from Jason Garrett for 20 years, bro. So whatever y'all telling me about Jason Garrett, y'all can miss me with that. That's why he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as Freddie Kitchen, I said, and I'm going to stand on this too, I said this was not – Jason even heard me. Jason heard me say this is an audition for Freddie Kitchen.
Sorry, Freddie Kitchen. Yeah.
You just failed that test, bro, because I'm sorry to tell you, I thought – he had some kind of cash. I ain't say he had a lot of cash, say, but BG showed us something. But no, I'm sorry, you got to go. Hey, listen, I'm with Manny Dawgs. All this shit got to go. This got to go. We got a first round running back that act like a second string running back. We got a second string quarterback that's a third string quarterback. We still got Darius Slayton still dropping balls out here. I don't know what the hell this was in third quarter, running flea flickers, reverses. Like, God damn it, y'all don't have nothing in the playbook? We don't have nothing in the playbook, really. That's how sad this is. So, you're missing me with all this here. I'm just sorry. The coaches just have to change. I ain't even expect – listen, if y'all thought Freddie Kitchen was going in there to go switch, to go put up points, miss me with that, because I didn't think Freddie Kitchen was going to do that. I just say be – like, play some sound football. Freddie Kitchen can't – brothers, this is just sad. Everything just has to go. And then as far as my defense, I'm going to stand on defense. Once again, defense was out there for almost like 42 minutes. That's just predictably almost the whole damn game. So if y'all thought defense was going to play some goddamn good defense, y'all have your damn minds if they're out there the whole damn game. That's like saying you went from Florida in this hot-ass weather to go all the way to San Diego to go play in some other hot weather. When that takes a toll on a defense. If anybody knows football, that just takes a toll on a when your offense just can't put up business. I'm just sorry. Everything just has to go, bro. I thought this was like auditioning for everybody. It was auditioning for everybody. And the best thing that I could, let me tell y'all, the best thing that I could take from this game is when I seen they took out Soldiers. Whoever took out Soldiers got MVP for the Giants tonight. Whoever took them out, whoever decided
to
take out Soldiers got MVP for tonight. And if nobody ain't realized that, that's sad. That is sad. Just to see us.
I got you, bro.
And when they finally took them out. They took them out. That's when the Giants go down the field and
score. And I don't even know why it took this long.
This is why I keep getting mad at when I say know your personnel. If you got to go all the way in the fourth quarter to realize that that dude out after a fumble, we got problems. Everybody has to go. No, I'm being dead ass here. Because you know why? I think all my Giants fans went out there to go sit out there in that new stadium. That's all y'all went there for. Y'all went there for that new stadium. Y'all did not go out there for that team. No. This is hurting.
Okay, I wasn't going there, but I have to agree. I'm with you.
Bro.
I am with you.
Bro, y'all know I'm not going to lie to y'all.
You put Bogart the whole show. No. Come on, now. What else you got? What else you got?
Bro.
Where he go?
And everybody need to go.
Okay, and guess what? Everybody agrees with that. Look. You know, one of my friends is a diehard Jets fan, right? And he's talking, and he said that every 4 years they blow up that entire organization and get new personnel in, but nothing ever changes. In this case, I'd like to try that, and with the anticipation that shit needs to change, because Manny Dawgs and everybody else is correct. This is some bullshit. I don't know if I can do this anymore, man. I cut the goddamn game off after the third quarter. I saw it coming. Like Carl said, I saw the shit coming. We just cannot compete with anybody. We suck, man. This is a bad fucking team. It's about time we said it out loud. Okay, sorry. I digress. This is y'all show. 929-474-171. Carl, help us out, man. Let's start talking again, y'all.
Can I pose a question, everybody?
Yes, please.
Billy Bob says it on a weekly basis about the term knowing your personnel. It's got me thinking. Maybe the Giants simply, and a lot of fans have done this, maybe they overrate their own personnel. Is that possible?
Yeah.
I think what we have seen here. And it's a larger point that maybe, I don't know if I should hit on it Thursday or maybe I should hit on it now, that perhaps we're definitely not doing that. Yeah, we're definitely not doing that. They'll be eliminated from the playoffs as early as next week when Dallas, you know, does what they need to do. It's got me wondering, let me pose this to everybody. Did the Giants overvalue their own team going into this season, or did the fans overrate the players that they signed going into the season? And here's the context behind that.
Let's take it around the table. Let's take it around the table.
Let me give the context behind that, right?
Say it one more
time. I've been talking about this for months. The over-under number for the Giants this season was 7 wins, yet the fans thought the Giants are much better than that number. Well, the Giants are probably going to finish they're probably not going to win another game this season now, but this result that we're seeing after 12 games, 13 games now, probably could have been seen coming. But I'm just trying to figure out, did the team overrate themselves, or did the fans overrate what they got in the offseason and were just sort of disappointed really for no reason?
Lady Blue.
I definitely think the fans overrated, because we do have talent on the team, but it looks like they can't mesh together and they don't know how to play well together. That and the injuries. But, yeah, I really think the fans overrated because of who we drafted or who we have on the team. They're going by names on the back of the jerseys instead of the ones on the front.
Christian.
Honestly, I don't think they're being utilized to their full potential either. They're really not. So I'm kind of split 50-50. It's both. It's the fans. It's both. I think it's both. We definitely overshot it. The fans definitely overshot the whole thing. We got overconfident, but yeah, I agree. It's like me. I'm split. I'm 50-50.
Dre Graham.
Listen, y'all know me. I ain't gonna mention no names, but y'all know what I'm getting at. I ain't going, but. To me, it's, you know, it's the idiot in charge that's a king of manipulating. He don't manipulate me, but there's a lot of fans that think that his word is God and he has them fooled. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. They have him fooled. I then stopped talking to him when he, putting my eggs all in the basket with him when he let Coughlin go. So I've been get rid of him for about 5 years now. But there's enough fans in the fan base that allows him to keep on doing it. You guys think he don't listen to, he don't see social media? He sees it, not all. But there's enough fans that take up for him that make him think he can do the same thing that he can do because he has fans on his side. That's what that is, but he don't manipulate me. So,
okay. Well, for me, I'm with Kristen. It's a little bit of both. There's a lot of hopefulness and wishing and thinking involved with the preseason. I happen to be a big fan of the NFL draft. And during that time, after you go through the evaluation and you know your college plays and all that, and you bring a and you start putting and you start talking with your partners and you start playing fantasy football and you got all of your new jerseys and your new gear that you ordered from whatever friggin' website, and you're making your damn travel plans to see all of y'all, for instance, at a certain tailgate or two, and you put everything together. You're hoping that, yes, this team with Judge, second year there, Garrett, second year there, whoever, Patrick Graham, second year there, and whatever acquisitions you've gotten, you're hoping, praying, wishing that, yes, you may just have a much better situation than you had last year. But when you do that, you overshoot sometimes what Dre Graham was talking about. Who the fuck's in charge? We know Gettleman is a piece of shit, but we want our team to excel and possibly, you know, topple, you know, that hated division rivals, your Cowboys, your Washington team, and I'm not mentioning the other one. And hopefully that's what you're doing. So I'm kind of leaning towards fans, but it could be 50-50. Lit, you are on the line, man. You just answer that question. Too,
Jason.
Go ahead, Jason.
Yes.
Legendary, I can't hear you.
Did you ask me a question, Chris?
Yeah. Did you hear the question that I want Carl to ask it? Carl's got to ask you a question.
Yeah, go.
And I want Billy Bob to go last.
Oh, Billy Bob, listen.
No, wait. Let Carl. You got to answer it, and then I want Billy Bob to answer it. So Carl, go ahead.
All right, I'll go ahead. All right, I'll go ahead and ask it. So the question I was posing to everybody was, we see the record that exists now. For months, I've been saying that the over-under number for wins for the Giants was 7, and that's what's been out there, and the Giants are going to finish probably worse than that. Did the Giants themselves overrate their own talent going into the season, or did the Giants fans overvalue the talent that was on the roster and basically set themselves up for the disappointment that they currently are feeling right now?
Oh, dude. Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. So listen, every year when the draft comes out with our picks and who we sign in free agency, everybody says, all the fans are going to be like, oh, man, we're going to make the playoffs. We're going to make the playoffs. I blame the fans because basically the fans, not you, not anybody on this format, but the emotional fans are all suckers because they fell for the banana tailpipe. I mean, that's what it is. Oh, we got Galladay. Oh, we got Adore. Oh, my God, look what we got. Look what they did. They all hype themselves up, and then they just get the rug pulled right out of them. It's not the management. It's the fans that are just – they don't understand the game of football and what the reality of it is. That's the problem, though, because, I mean, if you're going to buy into that, you all got – not you, but the majority of the people that thought they were going to go to the playoffs all got bamboozled, and it's showing every game. You got bamboozled, 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 bamboozled.
Okay.
Now,
bye. It's Billy Bob's turn.
Hey, listen, I told y'all, real. I said, listen, the Giants had a lot of talent, but I said if we had, I just said off real, we had a lot of talent, but I thought that we at least had the right coaches, we're going to coach them up, but we didn't. So I'm going to kind of blame myself because I did kind of hype it up, but I didn't hype it up because of who we had. I hyped it up because I seen the personnel we started picking up, but at the same time, in the back of my mind, I always still was thinking, like, are the Giants going to use these players the correct way? That even started off from the first person they drafted. And I like, do they know who they picking up? When they picked up Tony, I like, do they know who they really got? Are they going to use him in a proper way? And I knew off-rip they didn't get this man. They didn't use him right. So, therefore, I'm one of the people that, yeah, I might have had over. Because I looked at, when you look at this team and you see the names, you ain't going to have no choice but to overhype our team. You cannot say that you're not going to overhype our team because from the plays that you see from what they pick up on offense, you had no choice but to say, hey, this offense can put up 21 points. This offense could take this all team to the playoffs. As far as all that, because then I'm going to just say that falls out on coach. So, yes, I'm going to say we overrated our team. Yes, I did. I was one of them. I have to.
Billy Bob, can I counter that, Billy Bob?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, so the basis of that argument relies on the idea that a lot of those guys on the offensive side of the ball were going to stay healthy for at least, I don't know, 80% of the season. And if you take a look at the top five guys on the offense, none of those guys over the last 3 years have consistently been on the field. Jones, Barkley, Galladay, Shepard, Ingram. I'm probably missing another guy. But so if the premise is they have the talent, well, most of those guys are also often injured. So what, like, guys that are injured stay injured, and we've seen that play out this season. So was the expectation that they just weren't going to be injured? Because that's also part of this.
You know what, Carl? You're right, because I can give you the correct answer to that. There's only been six plays. All the players you said only played together for six plays. This, hear that out. The star players you just mentioned together six times for six plays. Carl, I don't. Hey, listen. Let's be real. I wasn't even thinking about injury. I wasn't, because I know you got to put that in the factor, but I wasn't even putting that in the factor because you know why? We had so much of talent that you should have utilized enough people where players shouldn't have got hurt.
Okay.
And you know what, Tony? And let me be real with y'all. Y'all know when Tony got hurt? Same game when they found out how good he was, and they wear his ass out. They wear his ass out until they got him hurt. And that's the sad part.
So that bad news bit.
But he was hurt from July. He's had five different versions of injuries going back to July.
Mm-hmm.
Like that should have been factored in. Like he was injured in college as well. So the fact that he's continuing to be injured should not be a stun.
Right.
But you still think as a collective unit, if you have enough players to input and put people in that should take away from injuries. Like, okay, you tired, you can sub in, you got Darius Slayton. You can put him in, you got John Ross, you can put him in. Let's talk about our tight end that only had one catch today. Every Ingram, this is sad.
This is sad. Our starting tight end only had one catch today for 8 yards. That's bad.
Right.
You got Kyle Rudolph. See, these are backups you're talking about. I ain't trying to say we had good backups, but you had enough players where you could switch in, swap out, where players should have been in and out. Like, this is bad. Where this is why I say it's all together. This is a collective. This is a whole organization saying, man, damn. Yeah. They got to blow this
up. I'm accounting all for the injury. Yeah. You have to put the injuries into factor when you're talking about us. Come on. In the past 10 years, you're talking about an organization, us, who this year, I think it was this week, we're number one with the IR. So in the past 10 years, that's three times. I remember a couple years back, we did it back-to-back. We had 21 people on IR 1 year. Then the next year, we came back with another 21 on IR. Not to mention what happened in Dallas this year really happened twice to us in the past 6 years. And I'm talking about when we got Brandon Marshall, Beckham went out for the season, Marshall got injured that game, our whole wide receiving core got injured that one game. And then it happened again with Dallas this year, but only our quarterback got taken out and our running back. So injuries is not a stranger to us. We're plagued with the injury bug. I don't know where the hell we got it from, but we're plagued with the injury bug. So you have to put that in perspective.
Okay.
I have a question. Injuries. Who do we put that blame on? Is it the strength and conditioning coach, or is it the people that are drafting these people?
Listen, Lady Boo, when we went 21-21 the year back to back that 1 year, we changed the strength and coach, and it still didn't work. So I don't know. Like I said, we're plagued with the bug. When you're cursed with a bug, switching out parts is not going to. We got to go back.
Or are we just drafting injury prone players?
Maybe.
Well, that has something to do with it, too. You're hiring these guys, and they already have injuries from college.
Yeah.
And then they get injured with us, not to mention other teams.
That's part of it. Yep, you're right.
And if y'all want to talk about injuries, let's talk about it. You can also just don't forget about our little small, what's his name, that he dropped the ball and got an injury. Yeah, he took one at the end. What's his name?
Ernest
Shepherd.
So basically we got a bunch of hoopies.
Glass.
Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly what we have. A bunch of hoopties. We have to, we get everything off the, and we didn't even go to dollar store. We get it off the lot.
No, the engine light comes on, you stay with, somebody, they just put pictures in front of it to try to block it out so they don't realize it's there and it's on,
buy
stuff
here,
like
pay
that.
Here lights. Buy
or
here,
is this
pay
all
here
riding around, riding
or
around with a donut on,
Right, but or is this also talking to the caliber of players? Back in the 80s and 90s and 70s, they would play with broken bones, cracked ribs. Maybe this year, kids that are playing are just a bunch of pussies.
Yeah,
they
that's
are.
The problem. They're overprotected. It's the truth. Look at the guys that used to play in leather helmets.
Yeah, but I think
the
NFL guys, they got in trouble for that.
They used to walk off the field like warriors, like bloody everything.
Yeah,
get a shot of cortisone, smack them on the ass, and they go right back in there.
I agree, but the NFL kind of screwed
this. This is what I do know. This is what I do know for a fact. We have more injuries. We have the most vanilla offense than anybody else. We keep our defense on the field more than anybody. We have some of the most. We're not the statistically. We're not the most turnover prone team, but we're damn near next to the bottom, like more than anybody else.
They're not productive.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Something's got to change, and I hate beating this fucking horse to death. But when you come out, but when you know midway through the, let's say, second quarter, that this is going to be the same old again, it kind of puts a lot of motherfucking depression into your system, okay? It's really friggin' sad. And I'm listening to all of y'all on this podcast right now, and I'm saying to myself, everybody that's on here, you know, from starting with Steve all the way down to Dre Graham, all of y'all in between, y'all are absolutely right, man. And I don't even know what we're doing. You know, I got to tell you this, and I'm going to let everybody else go ahead. You know, my sister years ago, she was selling, Mary Kay. She had the parties at the house and the big gatherings. She would go to Bennington. She had the brochures and all of that kind of stuff, but she made a gang of money. And she did really well with it because it gave her a return on investment, man. Whether it be commissions or joint venture, it gave her a return on investment. And she was able to make a decent living out of that shit, you know. That's one of the things I do in the music business, man. You know, I'm always going to get something at the first of the month because of my involvement with, you know, whoever, whether it be the fans or whether it be the rock jobbers, the retail people, whatever, whomever, or just basic label management. They know that the money has to come from somewhere in order to get to benefit everyone. For me, I'm not speaking about any of just my friends that are involved with this, because I love the tailgates and I love the camaraderie. I love the, you know, all my free cognac and all that other shit, you know. But I cannot see really doing that many goddamn tailgates anymore if you guys, meaning Giants management, aren't going to give me a return on investment anymore, man. I just can't do it.
Amen.
I'm not gonna anybody does. But this is fucked up. We buy the merchandise, we pay for plane tickets, we pay for stadium tickets, the concessions, you know. We make fucking plans in our schedules. We'll look at shit in May talking about, oh yeah, man, well damn, I could see Carl in Dallas. Or I could see Lady Blue in Jacksonville. And I'll just make the fucking plans from there and shit like that. You know, and say, oh, man, I hope we do get a game next week or next year against so-and-so. Maybe Billy Bob will be down there. And then, you know, Jason off the podcast, Jason is always blowing up my phone talking about, hey, man, you come to this, you come to that, you come to this, you come to that. And I'm like, you know, you really want to make time to do this, man, because we're a part of a really common, unique club that really enjoy each other, man, and enjoy cheering for our product and getting behind the whole group, taking our selfies, acting crazy, having big fun. But if the main...
Taking shots for you on video.
Yeah. but if the cause of your happiness is not producing, it's time for you to fucking divorce that shit. Or damn near. But what if you've been with it since you was a little kid, like Lady Blue and I? You know, what if you're invested in it because you're a total football fan? This shit is really fucking bad. And somehow, some way, and I keep saying this to y'all every week, but I'm going to do it. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. But if this is the platform to set it off, somehow we got to let these motherfuckers, meaning top management and stakeholders into the real franchise. That means your T-Mobiles. That means your Hess Oil. That means your Victoria's Secrets. They gotta know that we're not happy. And if we're not happy, then and they have to admit their product is shit because the stats prove it. Then they're gonna have to make some real changes. I truly believe everybody in this podcast right now that's talking at this roundtable is a better general manager than one we got. And probably in two cases, I'm looking at y'all's names, in two cases, better offensive coordinators.
One message that I think is almost lining up to be sent is next week at home. I don't know if anybody thinks this. I thought about this when we were talking about it earlier. You know, the Giant fans that are selling their tickets to Cowboys fans next week at MetLife Stadium, that crowd is going to be probably about at least 50% cheering for Dallas. And if the Giants put on a performance next Sunday the way they did today, that in that environment at home in front with you know that is not going to be a good look to have. And maybe, and this is where some folks mention this, maybe that's exactly what is needed to inspire a change at the end of all this. You know, we don't want nobody roots for losses. Nobody does that. However, that being said, that could be one way where all of a sudden it becomes, hey, there's some real bad shit that's happening here. And that's, I guess I'm just throwing that out. Maybe you guys disagree. I'll throw it out to you guys. But
it's gonna have,
I've got a feeling.
I agree. How embarrassed do we have to get?
Listen,
Kristen, I went to the Raiders game. I went to the game we played, beat the Raiders at home. And I'm sorry, there was 60% Raiders fan base there. And the cats that were there like me in blue, we knew it. They came up tailgating. They took over all damn near all the lots. They talked shit.
That's Raiders for you, man.
They were five deep. Oh, you know how you're at MetLife? And you'll be in the concession area, and all of a sudden you hear big roar and shit, and you'll say, "God damn, what did I miss, man? What the fuck did I miss?" And you want to look at, you want to find the monitor, or you want to turn around. That game, it was all Raiders hearing.
Yeah,
it was like when we all went to Tampa a couple years ago.
That's Raiders Nation, though.
Yes,
Raiders Nation is deep as hell.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
They are.
And
they're
now
loyal.
Steve,
they're real loyal.
Yes, and we're, but you know what, we are too. And this is why this shit is not working out.
But that's why it's killing
us.
It's like you got to make a stand. Like, how embarrassed do you have to be, Mara? This is you. Like, this is your baby.
What are you doing? See, I didn't say his name. I didn't say his name, Chris. She said his
I
name.
I have to.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
Hey,
I can't help it, honey. I'll say
it
for you. Okay. You don't have to. I got it. You don't have to. I got you. Mara.
No.
Listening right now,
hey.
Mr. Mara. Please.
No, you know what?
Listen
I would love
to us. Look what's happening to us. Like,
we need
are you not seeing the big freaking picture? How? What is it gonna? What is it gonna take?
It's gonna take a move.
Who
knows
mastermind? We need some masterminds. I'll explain it later.
Listen, I was talking. It's to the point that we can't even talk about the game no more. And I just got disturbed because I told y'all last week it was not even. It's like I came for the fans and the Bleed Blue show. But like for real, honestly, it's like you can't even talk about the game no more. And I was like, I feel what you talking about, Chris. When you like, we can't keep investing ourselves in going to these games. Cause I told y'all. It was a workout to get to that stadium and come back and just to get to the stadium and watch the Giants shit on themselves. I ain't had shit to talk about. It was not like we could go back to the parking lot and say, hey, did you see this player? Hey, did you see this player? Did you see it? Like, I can't even, like we have to have a star running back, and I can't even talk about that. And you going back, like, what is that to talk about? It was nothing to talk about. So that's why I'm
Billy
saying,
Bob.
Like, some of the fans – some of the fans that went to this Chargers game, y'all didn't go see the Giants. Y'all went there because of that stadium. And I hate to say that because it hurts because y'all went there to say, man, let me see how beautiful this stadium is. Because I'm being real with y'all. When everybody came to the Dolphins and Giants game, I thought I was at MetLife Stadium. Miami,
yeah.
I thought it was MetLife. And just to see all these Giants fans out here rooting and just to see that bullshit out there on the field, that's sad, bro. That really hurt. That ate me inside because it was mad. Like the fans couldn't even have nothing to talk about on their way back to the car.
Right.
Billy Bob. Bob Pappas has been the Giants radio guy for like 30 years. His partner is called Bex. 2 weeks ago, they went in deep on the Giants management, organization, play calling, and coaches, and these guys are the announcers, and they were in the Giants' ass as an overall organization, you know, about how play calling, personnel, changes in the depth charts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then right after that, and at first everybody thought it was a hoax until it was proven to be for real, LT, Lawrence Taylor, who's the best, quite possibly the greatest player in history of this team's existence, he said he doesn't even fucking watch the Giants anymore.
Nope.
He won't. It turned out he confirmed that shit.
He didn't even know who Daniel Jones was.
He didn't know who Daniel Jones was. I said, oh, shit.
Like, who?
Hey, Chris, to go even one further, do you want to know what Mark Collins posted on Twitter today? He point blank said, it's so hard to watch this. I haven't played in 20 years, and it hurts to watch. Still love my team, but you always have to hurt the ones, parentheses, fans, you love. Pound sign.
And he has a Super Bowl ring on, doesn't he?
Wow.
Yes.
That's so sad.
And that's directly from Mark Collins.
Listen, I'm tired of this shit. I'm going to read something right quick to y'all, and we need masterminds. Listen, it says, for instance, what does it take to remove an NFL owner from an NFL team? I Googled that shit just now while we was on the phone, and I'm reading it. That's where I'm at this point.
We got to buy him out, and I don't think we have enough money for that.
No, it's not buying out. It says that if they have a business on the side that looks bad towards the NFL, then you can, you know, get them out of there. Like, you can force them out.
Oh,
that's
well,
why I said
that.
We need mastermind. We need to frame matter. That's what the hell we need to do.
You just killed that theory, man, because this is the only source of the Mara family's income. And
that's why I said we need mastermind. Somebody need to frame his ass.
It's with good reason. It's with good reason because I'm not even going there this week. But y'all have heard me before. I'm pretty sure I explained it to Lady Blue, and I think Carl. But I'm not because we're on the air right now. And I don't want to go into how they what they do monetarily or financially.
I get it.
Okay, but I do know one thing. You got to buy them out, and let me tell you something. If enough fans are unhappy, you can do it because what happens is it's going to have to launch an investigation, okay, as to why this franchise is so bad. And you know what? We're almost really – that's easy. That's a little bit easier than you may think it is because Jerry Jones is not happy. Let me tell you something. To Carl's point earlier, you know, Jerry Jones does not want the Giants fucked up and bad. He wants them just as competitive as the Cowboys because that means money's coming out of his pocket if they ain't. Okay? And if he complained loud enough and there was a problem, I'm pretty sure he'd open his mouth and get involved too, and that will raise all the antennas of the ownership. I was thinking about all kinds of ways about this, man. I said, I can't write on social media because fuckers are so media.
I just interject real quick? I don't want to bail out from a Cowboy, especially Jerry Jones.
This is not a bailout situation.
Okay? Seriously, this is my thing. People are like, I'm getting back to the Garrett thing. This is bad luck for the Giants. If you are truly a New Yorker, you believe in luck, okay? And you believe in bad fucking karma. And the bad fucking karma, it was Jason Garrett. You're going to hire a fucking guy from Dallas who never did shit, our arch fucking enemy, okay? Number one. Number two, who's drafting? I hate to say his name, but I'm going to say it. Gettleman. Where's he from? Boston. What biggest fucking bullshit is that? You want to put a black cloud over us? You already did it. That's why we've been living with this so long. This is exactly why. And then
I remember KG
panning it down because nothing is changing. Nothing is changing. There's nobody spectacular to come in and take this team. There's nobody to do that. Judge is giving these big speeches. I'm going to punch you in the mouth for 60 minutes. And where's that?
He's a used car salesman.
All I saw is punch you in the mouth for 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. What's good with that? That's not cutting it.
He's a fake tough guy. He's a fake tough guy. If you guys know the term, if you've heard of the term Fugazi, that's what he is.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
Ooh, Carl, hey, man, what is that one from Carl? Hey, man.
Like a cubic zirconia. Yep. Like a cubic zirconia.
You know, he's a guy, and you see these people in your regular life. Like they'll talk tough, they'll give you the facade of toughness, but when you really sort of get down to the nitty gritty, he is as soft as Charmin. Okay,
I guess
like
so.
that's what he is. He's being exposed. We are seeing it week in, week out. His answers, you know, he tries to make try to put on a public face for you, but you can tell that, you know what, you can read right through this dude, you know, and the only people that are sticking up for him now are folks that, you know, bought in early, heard the tough talk, and now because they don't want to look like a fool, they're sticking with it all the way until the ship goes down.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to bring up something bad, but, you know, he was at the playoffs this year. When Boston played, I think Boston played Houston, the Houston Astros, and he was in the fucking stands with a fucking Red Sox hat on.
I'm telling you.
And I saw, and at the bottom it said, Dave Gettleman, New York Giants GL. And I think it was, I forgot who the partner is of Joe Buck, but Joe Buck's partner said, wow, he's living dangerously, isn't he?
Isn't he?
And I remember him saying that, and I said, you know what, we got to get rid of this motherfucker. So yes,
I'm telling you,
Kristen,
that would be
I
the
apologize.
Asshole Troy Aikman.
No, it was a baseball guy, whoever that is, Just Smoltz, I think. But well, it doesn't even matter, man. We got, you know what, all of these fuckers. What did you just say, Carl? Soft and Charmin? Fuck them all. Fuck them all. All right, let's do this real quick. Let's go top to bottom. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're listening to the Bleed Blue Show. Lady Blue is going to kick us off first.
What else is there left to say? Yeah, well, what else is there left to say? We're all here. We all, you know, good, bad, indifferent. You know, the definition of insanity, it's everything our team is rolled up into. We hope and pray that after this season there will be changes. What kind of changes are yet to come? And if we don't, as fans, like the changes, we need to try and make a difference, because there's power in the people and there's a power in the amount of people you have that say the same thing. Bleed blue.
Bam. That's an anvil drop right there. Woo! I thought that. What's your Twitter handle? Please say the Twitter handle for me. I would screw it up.
NYLUV51. Oh, Twitter handle? What the hell is my Twitter handle? That's a good question.
Okay. Say the first one again, the one you were going to say. I'm going to get this right this time.
NYLUV516.
Thank you, my Lady Blue.
You're welcome.
Now, it's my Lady Kristen's turn.
I'm just exhausted. I'm a glutton for punishment. I just keep coming back every week like everybody else. I'm burning up mad. It's exhausting. It's embarrassing. It's depleting. It can't feel good to the guys. It can't. It's not good to us. They're not good to us at all. You know, it just hurts. It hurts to see them like this, and it hurts to be embarrassed, and it hurts to see Dallas keep winning, and they're just leaving us in the dust. I doubt if they'll make the playoffs again, like I said, but it's just the point that they just keep on winning, and we look like trash. We're not even competitive at this point. We don't even match up with the rest of the season. We might as well just throw in the towel, like seriously, and just forfeit the rest of the season, because it's not going to happen. But, final thoughts, especially with Barkley. I told you guys, he's a freaking wide receiver.
That man caught that ball today. I was overjoyed. Can you listen? He cannot run for the simple fact that we cannot create a hole for him. The man can run. We can't give it to him. So give it to him another way. Look at how hard he had to fight for that 77 bullshit fucking yards today.
Yeah.
77. That's still not – come on, man. This guy needs to flourish, and you're stifling this talent. If you – just make him a freaking wide receiver. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. He will catch that ball and probably take three guys with him and secure it on the way down. But anyway, keep the faith, everybody. It was good to hear from everybody. Bleed blue always. Shout out to the frontliners. Before I forget, shout out to the frontliners for doing their thing. I'm sorry I couldn't accompany you guys, but it looks like you had a ball. Regardless, it's all about family and camaraderie, and we just love each other, and we love the sport, and that's why we're here. And it just so happens we just are gluttons for punishment. That's all. But anyway, that's my final thought.
I wasn't ready for
that. Good night, everybody. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. That's my girl right there. Okay. Dre Brown.
My final thought, bleed blue. That's all I got.
I hear you, bro. I hear you. That's all we can say. Great insight today, though, man. Love what you had to say, man. So that's why you're going to be here next week. You want to say, Thursday, I should say. Where are we? Zilly Bob?
Yo, hey, listen, final thoughts, man. Damn, it's sad that I think we should have the records of the Detroit Lions. It's sad that the Giants won't even play like the Detroit Lions, and the Detroit Lions got a 1-10, 1-11 record. Y'all know that, right? I take more joy watching Detroit Lions than watching the Giants, because Giants is like that shit hurt our eyes. But I can just say final thought is, bruh, final thought is they need to be cutting people. They need to be firing people, dog. I think that's the only joy we're going to get, to see people get fired or cut. That's the only joy we're going to win. That's the only joy we want, because looking at them on the field, we ain't really getting that. Like, they don't even compete. Like, we should be wanting to see, like, can y'all go down the field and score a touchdown? And we'll celebrate that as a victory. For real. But I'm sorry, y'all, man. But one more thing to look at, dog. I hate to tell y'all this year, but I love y'all. I love the people that love Saquon, but I'm sorry, y'all. But the thing about Saquon is he's just a backup. Y'all go look at that number. Go look at his yards per average. Booker had less carry and a better average than Saquon. The number just speaks for itself. This is not the second season that happened. It happened last season, and it happened in this season. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't care if he was hurt. That can miss him with Saquon. A lot of people need to be gone by the end of the day. They need my help. I travel up.
Lee Blue. That's Lee Billy Blue. Bob. Okay. At the C-Note.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, everybody, for this therapy session that we just went through for the last hour. You know, as we say goodbye, it's only a problem if you admit that there is one. And I got a bad feeling that when this season is over in about, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, I think that's the date, January the 9th, I think is the last day, that when they talk to us at the end of the season, they're going to blame injuries for what happened this season, when we can kind of see that the reasons behind the losing are far more deeper than that. And I think that's a very troubling sign if they go down that road.
All right, you still there, man? I'm sorry. That's me.
Oh, no worries. I'm here.
Okay. All right. So that's Carl of the C-Notes, Lady Blue, Kristen, Billy Bob and his feelings, Dre Graham, Matty Dogs was earlier, as was Azul, and Legend and Tailgate himself, Jason. This was the post game against the Chargers.
final score, we lost again, 37-21. Giants scored two late touchdowns. We went down to 4-9. Our next game is on Sunday versus the Dallas Cowboys. I'll be at MetLife for that one, unfortunately. I bought my tickets early. Don't judge me. what was I going to tell you? This is probably one of the better Bleed Blue shows I have been on, man, because if you're listening in, whoever you are, this you have heard some really great insight from some really smart people who know what they're talking about. Everybody that was on this podcast knows exactly what the hell they're talking about when it comes to New York Football Giants. And I cannot wait for you to hear them when we are on here 1 year and we're actually 13-2, killing everybody. Let me tell you something. I know that sounds like wishful thinking, but I happen to be old enough, because I'm probably the oldest cat on this podcast right now. I'm old enough to remember when we were actually feared. When people looked at their schedule and said, the Giants next week. Oh, Jesus Christ. And it was real fear. And or in the off season, if they knew we were coming to their stadium, they'd sell the hell on out. You know? Why? Because we were the best shit walking, or one of them. One day we're gonna get back there. I believe in what Kristen said earlier. Karma is motherfucking, it's also cynical. It'll come, whatever's happening, when you're down, you have nowhere else to go but up. This is not the year, unfortunately, but we will get there. I'm positive of that. I'm very positive of that. So all we can do is keep on, you know, what Dionne Warwick said, wishing and hoping and thinking and praying about where we're going with this squad. And there's really no more words to say here. So this is going to be an over-and-out situation. Again, this is Professor Christopher. For Steve and the rest of the Bleed Blue family, make sure you check out that Facebook fan page, because you're going to see a whole lot of new videos and clips from L.A. They're going to be posted in a little while. Highlights, video breakdowns, whatever is on there. Oh, and if you want to see if you want to hear how funny you sound, or you want to do any research or anything, check us out on our archives on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all the other stuff that you got on your iPhone that you hardly ever press it, but you pay for every month. And so, for everybody else, this is a Bleed Blue show. Have a good night. Talk to you guys soon. Bleed Blue, everybody. Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed Blue, 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 Bleed Blue.